إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فها نحن في منتصف سورة الكهف أو في وسطها، حيث وصلنا إلى الآية 51 بفضل الله جل وعلا. يقول الله جل وعلا، أقول أنا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، يقول الله: ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدا. ويوم يقول نادوا شركائي الذين زعمتم فدعوهم فلم يستجيبوا لهم وجعلنا بينهم موبقا. Someone kindly read verse 51 and 52 in English.
I, Allah, will give Iblis and his offspring none witness nor took their help in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and not even their own creation. Nor was I, Allah, to take them misleaders as helpers.
One more verse. Yes.
And remember the day he will say, "Gorgeous of all partners of mine whom you presented, this day will try to say, but they will not answer them, and we shall put more big barrier between them."
نعم. طيب، يقول الشيخ، يقول تعالى: ما أشهدت الشياطين وهؤلاء المضلين خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدا، أي ما أحضرتهم ذلك ولا شاورتهم عليه، فكيف يكونون خالقين لشيء من ذلك. The Shaykh said regarding the statement of Allah, and I did not make these devils or those misguided people witnesses over the creation of the heavens and the earth, and not even the creation of themselves. So they were not consulted. They were not witnesses. They were not consulted. Nobody seeked their advice. So how would they be themselves creating any of those? If they were not even consulted in the creation of Allah, then them being the creators is more impossible. So they are not the creators of these things. بل المنفرد بالخلق والتدبير والحكمة والتقدير هو الله خالق كل شيء خالق الأشياء كلها المتصرف فيها بحكمته. Rather, the one who is alone and singled out in creation and arranging the affairs and wisdom and proportioning things is Allah, the creator of all things, the one who arranges these affairs according to his wisdom. فَكَيْفَ يُجْعَلُ لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ مِنَ الشَّيَاطِينَ شُرَكَاءُ مِنَ الشَّيَاطِينَ يُوَلُونَ وَيُطَعُونَ كَمَا يُطَعَ اللَّهُ. If this is the case, then how is it that it is made as partners to him devils, in which they are taken as protectors and they are obeyed the same way Allah is obeyed. وَهُمْ لَمْ يَخْلُقُوا وَلَمْ يَشْهَدُوا خَلْقًا. And they did not create, neither did they even witness the creation taking place. وَلَمْ يُعَاوِنُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. And they did not even assist or aid Allah Azza wa Jalla in that. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَمَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُضِلِّينَ عَضُدًا، أي معاونين مظاهرين لله على شأن من الشؤون. So meaning, I was not to take them, those misguiding shayateen, as helpers that will help Allah regarding any of the affairs. أي ما ينبغي ولا يليق بالله أن يجعل لهم قسطا من التدبير. Meaning, it is not appropriate and it doesn't befit the majesty of Allah that he will give them a portion of arranging the affairs. لأنهم ساعون في إضلال الخلق والعداوة لربهم، فاللائق أن يقصيهم ولا يدنيهم. يقصيهم ولا يدنيهم. He said, because they aim and strive in misguiding the people and showing animosity to their Lord, so what is appropriate for them is that they should be distant. They should be distant away and they should not be made to come near. طيب. ولما ذكر حال من أشرك به في الدنيا وأبطل هذا الشرك غاية الإبطال وحكم بجهل صاحبه وسفه أخبر عن حالهم مع شركائهم يوم القيامة وأن الله يقول لهم نادوا شركائي بزعمكم أي على موجب زعمكم الفاسد وإلا بالحقيقة فبالحقيقة ليس لله شريك في الأرض ولا في السماء. طيب. The Shaykh said, when Allah mentioned the affair of these people in the dunya, hello, speaking is prohibited. When Allah mentioned the affairs as far as the social bonus in the dunya, and Allah showed how void and how weak and how false this particular shirk is, Allah mentioned and he declared the ignorance of the person who commits this kind of shirk. Allah told us about their affair on the Day of Judgment. So we moved from the affair in the dunya to the affair on the Day of Judgment, that Allah Azza wa Jal will tell them, call on to your partners, according to you of course. They are partners to Allah, according to the people. But otherwise in truth, there is no partners to Allah. Not in the heavens and not on earth. No such thing. أَيْنَادُوهُمْ لِيَنْفَعُوكُمْ وَيُخَلِّصُوكُمْ مِنَ الشَّدَائِدِ. Meaning Allah will tell them, call them. These other gods you worship besides Allah, whether it's Jesus or Mary or Buddha or a cow or the sun or the moon or whatever people have taken as objects of worship, Allah will tell them, call them, let them benefit you or harm you if they're able to do so. Let them save you from these difficult times. فدعوهم فلم يستجيبوا لهم لأن الحكم والملك يومئذ لله لا أحد يملك مثقال ذرة من النفع لنفسه ولا لغيره. And they will call them but they will not answer them because verily the judgment and the dominion and the sovereignty is on that day to Allah alone. No one else has a single grain of benefit or harm. Not to himself or to anyone else on that day, the Day of Judgment. No more nothing. Nobody can say nothing, they can do nothing except by their will and the permission of Allah. In this dunya, Allah gave us the free will. He gave the human being the free will to believe or disbelieve, to do good deeds or to do bad deeds. Sent messengers and gave him guidance, provided him with the means of guidance and the path to paradise. But gave the human being the choice of either taking it, accepting it and moving on it or rejecting it. And people may say things against Islam. And people may say things against Allah. And people may say things against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is all because Allah Ta'ala has given us the rule without the will of Allah. But on the Day of Judgment, no more. No more. No one can speak. No one can claim. No one can do nothing. Everything has been written in a book. And the body parts will speak against the person himself. So there will be no more foolishness, as the people pretend in this day that they didn't know any better or that this iman is not clear to them and that what they are upon is the truth, while everybody knows that what they are upon is falsehood. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ أَيْ بَيْنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَشُرَكَائِهِمْ مَوْبِقًا أَيْ مَهْلَكًا يُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ وَيُبْعِدُ بَعْضَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ ويتبين حينئذ عداوة الشركاء لشركائهم وكفرهم بهم وتبريهم منهم كما قال تعالى وإذا حشر الناس كانوا لهم أعداء وكانوا بعبادتهم كافرين. جعلنا بينهم, meaning Allah will put between the mushrikeen between those who associate partners and the so-called partners. Those who associate the partners from the worshippers and the so-called partners that they have claimed with Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla will put between them a barrier. So they will not be able to, that will separate them. And it will distance them from one another. And then it will become clear the animosity that those will have towards one another. The animosity that the mushrikeen will have towards those whom they were worshipping alongside with Allah. And then those who worship besides Allah, their animosity will become clear about those who used to worship them besides Allah. And then they will declare the innocence from them, as Allah says in another verse, and when the people are gathered, they will become enemies to them, and they will be verily about their worship, disbelievers. Then they will say, oh, we were not really worshipping them, and oh Allah, this we followed our leaders and our the elders amongst us, and if you take us back to the dunya, we will do good, and all these excuses that will be presented, and none of them are actually valid, and none of them will be accepted. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, كلا إنها كلمة هي قائلها. No, it's only a word that the person will say. It's only a wish to come back to the dunya and fix, but that will never be the case. ورأى المجرمون النار فظنوا أنهم مواقعوها ولم يجدوا عنها مصرفا. And someone kindly read verse 53 in English.
Criminals, polytheists, sinners shall see the fire and apprehend that we have to follow therein, and they will find no way to escape from there.
طيب. أي جزاك الله خيرا. أي لما كان يوم القيامة وحصل من الحساب ما حصل وتميز كل فريق من الخلق بأعمالهم وحقت كلمة العذاب على المجرمين فرأوا جهنم قبل دخولها فانزعجوا واشتد قلقهم لظنهم أنهم مواقعوها. وهذا الظن قال المفسرون إنه بمعنى اليقين، فأيقنوا أنهم داخلوها ولم يجدوا عنها مصرفا، أي معدلا يعدلون إليه، ولا شافع لهم من دون إذنه. وفي هذا من التخويف والترهيب ما ترعد له الأفئدة والقلوب. The Sheikh said, verily when it is the day of judgment, when the day of judgment comes and all accountability has taken place and every group has become distinct in terms of the actions that they were performing, the people of paradise are known and the people of the hellfire are known, and the punishment has become inevitable for the mujrimeen, the criminals. They will see the hellfire before they enter into it. They will see the hellfire, as it comes in another verse in the Quran, that the hellfire, or the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hellfire, ya akhwan, may Allah protect us from the hellfire, will be brought by 70, it will have 70,000 ropes. The hellfire will have 70,000 ropes. Each rope has 70,000 angels dragging the hellfire. Visualize. Angels, one of the strongest creations of Allah. Tayyib, the angels are among the strongest creation of Allah in terms of physical ability. The hellfire, when it will be brought on the day of judgment, it will have 70,000 ropes. It will be tied, ropes will be tied around it because it will be brought. And each rope will have 70,000 angels bringing it. So 70,000 times 70,000, my math does not help me that far. But that's a large number. But I want you to imagine, one rope has 70,000 angels. Not 70,000 for each rope, and there are 70,000 ropes, and Jahannam will be brought. وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ. In Surah Al-Fajr, Allah says, وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ, and Jahannam will be brought. It will be brought. So at that particular moment, The criminals will see it with their own eyes, and they will know. فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا. They know that they are about to enter into it. It has become clear that they will be among the inhabitants of the hellfire. So this will cause them some major distress. They will become very troubled mentally because of this fact and this reality. And they will become, the Shaykh mentioned here, a dhan. The word dhan sometimes means assume. And sometimes it is used to mean certainty. Dhan sometimes means assume. And sometimes it means certainty. And this particular verse, dhan means certainty, meaning أَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُمْ دَخِلُوا. They become certain that they will enter into it. وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. And they will not find a different resort or a different resting place besides that one. And no one to intercede for them. No one to intercede for them with Allah Azza wa Jal. He said that in this particular verse, there's so much scaring. It's so scary. There's a scaring effect that it makes the heart tremble. And just cause major scare. Because just think, imagine it. Yani you really have to really imagine these things. That you are standing there, the fire is brought, it's huge, طيب, and you know at that moment while you're looking at it that you will be going in there. Can you imagine, yani just to make it closer in terms of understanding, let's say we bring a fire over here, huh? We make a little barbecue kind of thing, or anything, a little, you know, fire thing that they do in the country, whatever. And it's some fire you're burning. Imagine that, you know, you're standing there and you know that all the brothers in the class are going to throw you in there. And you're going to, right now, you're going to be thrown in the fire where you're going to burn to death. What kind of mental state would you be in? Right? Your heart will be beating fast. You'll be sad, disturbed. You'll be anxious. You'll be freaking out. You will not be normal. And if this is about the fire of the dunya, and maybe someone will intercede for you. Maybe someone will come and say, no man, this is my brother, please don't burn him. On the day of judgment, none of that stuff. No one's going to intercede for you. And Allah, and the only judge is Allah. And Allah judges that you're going to go to the fire. Of course, not because of you. Because of what we may earn. Not because of Allah oppressing us. How would that feeling of this individual be? A horrible feeling. So this is a reminder that we should not do the things that will entail us entering into the hellfire.
Assalamu
alaikum. So yeah, whatever actions we do that may entail us entering the fire, we need to reconsider them, ya akhwan. If your cell phone has a silly ringtone, or some music plays, every time your phone rings, you may want to reconsider that, because it's Islamically prohibited and forbidden, and all these actions may lead someone to the hellfire. They add up, not that on its own, it may, unless we repent to Allah, and Allah forgives us, or unless something good deeds happen to erase it, we may be in trouble. Alaykum salam. We may be in trouble. May ring, and then you want to answer. You wind up interrupting the verse. Alaykum salam. You wind up interrupting the verse. Huh? So imagine if the surah comes and the ayah comes, and then you want to pick up the phone, so you stop the reciter in the middle of the verse. This degrades the Qur'an. So the scholars have given a fatwa. I think it's right there on the door of Shaykh Ahmed. It's there at the door of Shaykh Ahmed Piradilla. The fatwa of the Lajna regarding the using the Qur'an as cell phone tones. All these should not be done. Even dua. Why? Because this is an act of worship, ya akhi. This is an act of worship and it needs to be magnified. And using it as a cell phone ringtone is really not appropriate. Same thing with the adhan. The adhan was legislated in order for the people to be called to the salah. Not so it could wake you up, and not so you could, it could ring on your phone and you could answer it. You say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, hello? Hey! Doesn't work, now.
How about using adhan as alarm clock, like you want to pray fajr?
Unless it is gonna, unless it's a software that calls the adhan at the time of salah. Yeah, at the time of the salah, 5 times a day at Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, it goes off, no problem.
With the time of adhan, that's what it means.
Yeah.
Using it as a...
Yeah, no problem, but not otherwise. But anyways, these are less severe than the music. And by the way, the Nokia tune is a music tone. Somehow people think that everything is a music tone except the Nokia one. The one, yeah, this is just the same like everybody else. So if you have it on that doesn't cut it. You have to have an old school tirrin tirrin kind of stuff. Huh? Or whatever, bop or any horn, even maybe birds. And birds is the nicest one. Because if it goes off in the masjid, it's possible that there may be some birds flying around. So you really, maybe some people will not really know it's a cell phone. They think, oh, mashallah, there's some birds in the masjid. But anything else is usually clear. Yesterday, where we were, wallahi, there's a brother, may Allah Azza wa Jal pardon him. He had the Christmas ringtone. And the whole salah, the whole time in the masjid, during the sunnah, during the day, it keeps going off. Almost nobody knew how to pray. People became outraged. Yes, and it's a Christmas song, man. You know, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year kind of stupid stuff, man. And you know, we know them from Jahiliyyah, alaykum salam. We know them from Jahiliyyah, so it's disturbing. But yeah, anyways, we don't want to go off the subject here. Basically, brothers, the bottom line of this is, there has been this warning from Allah pertaining to the fire, and we need to check ourselves and look what are the things that we may be doing that may entail us going to the fire, and how we should protect ourselves from them in order to be safe on the Day of Judgment. طيب, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. This is a very valuable verse, as the rest of the Quran. Somebody can you read verse 54 in English? Hey. Yalla, Shaitan. Yalla.
And indeed, we have put forth every kind of example in this Quran for mankind, but man is even more quarrelsome than anything.
Hey. يخبر الله تعالى جزاك الله خيرا يخبر الله تعالى عن عظمة القرآن وجلالته وعمومه وأنه صرف فيه من كل مثل أي من كل طريق موصل إلى العلوم النافعة والسعادة الأبدية. The Shaykh said Allah عز وجل informs us that he informs us about the greatness of this Quran and how honorable it is and how vast in its content, that Allah has struck in it from every kind of example. Allah struck in this Quran from every kind of example, meaning from every way that may lead to beneficial knowledge and eternal happiness. وَكُلُّ طَرِيقٍ يَعْصِمُ مِنَ الشَّرِّ وَالْهَلَاكِ. And every path that protects us from evil and destruction. ففيه أمثال الحلال والحرام وجزاء الأعمال والترغيب والترهيب. So in it are the examples of what is halal, permissible, and what is haram, what is forbidden. وجزاء الأعمال, and the reward for actions. والترغيب والترهيب, and encouraging effects and threatening effects. والأخبار الصادقة النافعة للقلوب, and the truthful news that is beneficial for the heart. اعتقاداً وطمأنينة ونوراً, in terms of belief and tranquility and as light. وهذا مما يوجب التسليم لهذا القرآن. This indicates that we should submit to this particular Quran. and the submission here, meaning to the rulings and what Allah has mentioned in it. And by doing so, we are submitting to Allah Azza wa Jal in truth. وَتَلَقِيهِ بِالْإِنْقِيَادِ وَالطَّاعَةِ And to accept it with obedience and follow and submission. وَعَدَمِ الْمُنَازَعَةِ لَهُ فِي أَمْرٍ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ And not to oppose it in any affair of the affairs. وَمَعْ ذَلِكَ But alongside with that, كان كثير من الناس يجادلون في الحق من بعد ما تبين ويجادلون بالباطل ليدحدوا به الحق But regardless of that, many people will argue with falsehood in order to extinguish the light of the truth after the truth has become clear to them. And this is where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وكان الإنسان أكثر شيء جدلا أي مجادلة ممنازعة فيه مع أن ذلك غير لائق بهم ولا عدل منهم والذي أوجب له ذلك وعدم الإيمان بالله إنما هو الظلم والعناد Yet Allah says, and the person, the human, was the most quarrelsome of creation. Meaning, in arguing and going back and forth, although it is not appropriate for the human being to be like that, and this is not justice from their part, and the thing that allowed them to go to this extent and not believing in Allah Azza wa Jal is because of oppression and stubbornness. Oppression and stubbornness. لَا لِقُصُورٍ فِي بَيَانِهِ وَحُجَّتِهِ وَبِرْهَانِهِ Not because the truth is deficient in terms of being clear and in terms of being established as a proof. وَإِلَّا فَلَوْ جَاءَهُمْ الْعَذَابِ وَجَاءَهُمْ مَا جَاءَ قَبْلَهُمْ لَمْ تَكُنْ هَذِي حَالُهُمْ Otherwise, had the punishment come upon them and that which came before had come upon them, their situation will not be as that. Meaning they would have been different, they would have believed. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا Can someone read verse 55 in English, please?
Okay. And nothing prevents men from believing, now when the guidance that Quran has come to them, and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, except that the ways of the ancient be repeated with them, their destruction decreed by Allah, or the torment be brought to them face to face.
Jazakallah khair. أي ما منع الناس من الإيمان ما منع الناس من الإيمان ما منع الناس من الإيمان والحال أن الهدى الذي يحصل به الفرق بين الهدى والضلال والحق والباطل قد وصل إليهم وقامت عليهم حجة الله فلم يمنعهم عدم البيان بل منعهم الظلم والعدوان عن الإيمان Meaning what prevented the people? What is preventing the people from believing? And this is a very important question for anyone who's involved in da'wah, such as many of you brothers, right? After you explain Islam and you do the job, what in the world prevents these people from becoming Muslims? Because the truth is clear, and teachings are clear, and the difference between Islam and Christianity, they are clear. And everything you really need to know is obvious now. But you will find some people that, ma'alesh, they still don't want to believe. Then you wonder what's wrong with these people. Allah Azza wa Jal, as this Quran has answers pretty much for everything we need to know, Allah tells us why. Not only in this verse, in many verses in the Quran, we know why the disbelievers are disbelievers. And here, the Shaykh said, what prevents the people from believing? And the reality is that the guidance which makes a distinction between truth and falsehood, and guidance and deviance, had reached them, had already reached them, and the proof has been established, the proof of Allah has been established against them. So it's not like because it wasn't clear, that's not the reason why they did not believe, because the message was not clear. بَلْ مَنَعْهُمُ الظُّلْمُ وَالْعُدْوَانِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ But that which prevented them from believing is ظُلْم, oppression, وَعُدْوَانِ, transgression. Oppression and transgression. Transgression is to bypass the limits. To transgress is to go beyond the limits and oppression. This is what prevented them. فَلَمْ يَبْقَى إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ اللَّهِ. So nothing remains for these people who want to remain disbelievers out of oppression and transgression, except that the way of Allah Azza wa Jal comes upon them. وَعَادَتِهِ فِي الْأَوَّلِينَ مَنْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا عُجِلُوا بِالْعَذَابِ. Though for, and that which Allah used to do to the previous nations, that when they didn't believe, Allah hastened for them the punishment. Allah brought about the punishment, such as the people of Nuh. Right? What happened to the people of Nuh? Allah drowned every one of them, man. Even the son of Nuh. Why? Because of disbelief. So disbelief is not a joke. And people take it lightly. Say, it's okay, man, you know, but he's just, you know, he's just not a Muslim, it's okay. But it's a big deal, man. This is a huge deal. If somebody's not a Muslim, that's a big deal. That means a person is not in a state of belief. Meaning, they are vulnerable for the punishment of Allah, for the revenge from Allah, because they are nullifying the purpose of creation. They are ruining the very reason why they are here. They are not concerned about the reason why they were brought into existence. And this is the worst kind of oppression. That the very job that you're supposed to do, you don't do it. Right? That's the worst thing you can do to your employer. Is the job that he gave you, he hired you for something, and that very job is the last thing on your mind. You will be a horrible employee. And soon enough they will fire you and give you an exit visa. Never allow you back here. They may even send someone after you to the Philippines to make your life difficult because of what you caused for them here, because the very job that they told you to do, you did not do. I'm just striking an example. Why? Because you had a job and you didn't fulfill it. This is the kafir. They were created to worship Allah, but somehow they are so busy that they do not do that. Not only that, they make other gods whom they get themselves busy with worshipping them. Subhanallah. Total oppression, ya akhwan. Zulm, the epitome of zulm. This is oppression. Yani, not only you don't worship God, but you also set up other gods, or you speak about God according to what you want, and you attribute things to Him, and then you worship them and dedicate your love and devotion and life to these people, and these the enemies of Allah, the shayateen, the devils, your enemy who got your father out of paradise to begin with, then you take him as a protector and as a helper and you worship him and aid him against Allah. Subhanallah al-Azim. Alhamdulillah alladhi afana min hadha al-bala. Alhamdulillah that gave us the afiyah from this calamity of being among the kuffar. Hey. Ma'annahum bidhab ujilu bil'adab. أو يرون العذاب قد أقبل عليهم, or they see the punishment is about to come upon them. ورأوه مقابلة ومعاينة, then they see it with their own eyes, face to face. أي فليخافوا من ذلك, meaning let them be afraid of that. وليتوبوا من كفرهم, and let them, Allah is advising them, be afraid and repent from your kufr. قبل أن يكون العذاب الذي لا مرد له, before the punishment comes, that which will never be returned. The punishment that can never be returned. وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِذُوا بِهِ الْحَقَّ وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَمَا أُنْذِرُوا هُزُوَا. Someone kindly read verse 56 in English, please. With a loud voice.
Not the messengers, except as givers of glad tidings and warnings. But those who disbelieve dispute with false argument in order to refute the truth thereby. And they read my ayah, hopes, evidences, verses, lessons, signs, revelation, etc. And that we mix DIY and gifts and mockery.
Jazakallah khair. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى, أي لم نرسل الرسل عبثا ولا ليتخذهم الناس أربابا ولا ليدعوا إلى أنفسهم, بل أرسلناهم يدعون الناس إلى كل خير وينهون عن كل شر, ويبشرونهم على امتثال ذلك بالثواب العاجل والآجل. The Sheikh said, Allah Azza wa Jal informs us that He has not sent the messengers with messages just for fooling around. Huh? They were not just sent for nothing. And not for the people to take them as gods besides Allah, which is what the Christians did to Jesus, the son of Mary. Allah sends them a messenger, they make a messenger a god. Allah al-musta'an. وَلَا لِيَدْعُوا إِلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ. And not for these messengers to call the people to themselves. Where the messenger say, come, come, I'm your salvation. Everything has to do with me. And don't worry about God, don't worry, I'm everything you need. That was not what the prophets and the messengers came to do either. بَلْ أَرْسَلْنَاهُمْ يَدْعُونَ النَّاسَ إِلَى كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. Allah says, rather, يعني the Shaykh said, rather, يعني Allah is telling us, Allah sent the messengers in order to call the people to every goodness and to prevent them from every evil and to give them glad tidings for about the reward, the quick reward and the everlasting reward for those who do the good. وَيُنذِرُونَهُمْ عَلَى مَعْصِيَةِ ذَلِكْ بِالْعِقَابِ الْعَاجِلِ وَالْآجِلِ. And they warn them from, if they disobey, from the quick punishment and the long-lasting one, meaning in the hereafter. فَقَامَتْ بِذَلِكَ حُجَّةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. فَقَامَتْ بِذَلِكَ حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. وَمَعْ ذَلِكَ يَأْبَى الظَّالِمُونَ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا الْمُجَادَلَةَ بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِدُوا بِهِ الْحَقِّ. So the proof has been of Allah has been established upon the slaves, and with that, regardless of that, the oppressing disbelievers, the oppressive disbelievers will still argue with falsehood, trying to eliminate the truth. فَسَعُوا فِي نَصْرِ الْبَاطِلِ مَهْمَا أَمْكَنْهُمْ. And they strive to give victory to their falsehood as much as they can. وَفِي دَحْدِ الْحَقِّ وَبْإِبْطَالِهِ. And destroying the truth and nullifying it. وَاسْتَهْزَأُوا بِرُسُلِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ. And they mocked the messengers of Allah and Allah's signs, as they mocked Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And they say that he wrote the Quran himself and what have you. وَفَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. And they became happy with what they have from knowledge. So we have knowledge, we have knowledge. وَيَأْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. But Allah refuses except that His light will become, His light will shine and illuminate even if the disbelievers hate it. وَيُظْهِرُ الْحَقَّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ. And Allah will make the truth overshadow and overpower the falsehood. بَلْ نَقْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمُغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقٌ. Allah says, rather we send the truth and we throw the truth upon the falsehood so it destroys it. And all of a sudden it goes away, the falsehood. وَمِنْ حِكْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ أَنَّ تَقِيدَهُ الْمُبْطِلِينَ الْمُجَادِلِينَ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْأَسْبَابِ إِلَى وُضُوحِ الْحَقِّ وَتَبَيُّنِ شَوَاهِدِهِ وَأَدِلَّتِهِ وَتَبَيُّنِ الْبَاطِلِ وَفَسَادِهِ فَبِضِدِّهَا تَتَبَيَّنُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. Now this is a very fundamental principle for the people of da'wah. Listen to this fact, because sometimes we have a misconception. The Shaykh said, from the mercy of Allah, from the wisdom of Allah and His mercy, is that He had assigned those who argue with the falsehood, trying to eliminate the truth. This actually is a mercy from Allah. This is a mercy from Allah. Why? Because this is among the best reasons why the truth would become even more clear. More clear to the people. I will strike some examples. And it will expose the falsehood and how corrupt it is. Because through the opposite, things become clear. I'll give you an example. You see a tall brother walk in. طيب. And you may think from the first sight that he's tall. But you really don't dwell on it much. And he seems to be a tall brother. And then he comes in again and he has with him 10 of his family members. And all of them are half of his size. Which one, in which occasion would you think that the brother looks taller? In the first or the second? The second. Because when you see his cement, I didn't know how tall you were until I seen all these midgets around you. Right? So you look tall in the beginning, but now when you have all these small brothers around him and you look at him compared to the brothers, say, MashaAllah, you are a tall brother. Otherwise, if you've seen him on your own, you see that you may have an idea about him being tall, but it is not as clear. Why? Because through the opposites, things become clear. So the truth, the truth, ya akhwan, is clear. Right? It's clear on its own. Right now, if you explain to someone Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, it's clear. But if you wanted to make it even more clear, you compare it to Trinity. When you compare it to Trinity, it becomes so much more clear. Subhanallah. Look at the huge difference between the concept of the one true God, who is none equal to Him. He is eternal, He is absolute, He didn't beget nor was He begotten, He's the everlasting, He's the beginning, He's the end, and all the attributes of Allah in Tawheed. And then you bring the Trinity and you start getting into the philosophy of the one Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three in one, one in three, blah blah blah, water mixing, becoming ice if you put it in the freezer, becomes steam if you put it in the stove, and it's all three but in one, all this crazy stuff that the Christians bring about that they themselves don't understand. When somebody starts speaking to, if you bring an atheist and you bring one Christian and one Muslim to give him da'wah, if you only give him da'wah, it's clear. If the Christian gave him da'wah first and you gave him da'wah, it is even much better. Because he will realize a huge difference between what you're propagating and what the Christian is propagating. Why? Because the fact that Allah allowed the falsehood to remain, all it does is make the truth even more clear. With the presence of falsehood, the truth becomes more clear and shiny. Right? If you have a glass and it's all 50-50. Like it's all one color. It's dirty, but it is not very dirty. It's whatever. But if it was all dirty except for one spot that you really cleaned with Windex. Tayyib? Either way, it was clean somehow. Now when you have cleaned that one particular part, the truth becomes so much better. It say, oh, this is so clean. You no longer look at the dirt. Because what has attracted you is what? The cleanliness. Because the dirt around it made it look more clean. Otherwise it would have been clean. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is from the wisdom of Allah. So don't be troubled by the fact that, you know, there are people who propagate Christianity and they come and, you know, they heal people supposedly on TV, and you know, he may blow at him or punch him once and then he would be handicapped. Next thing you know, he's walking, jumping on his 4 feet like a horse. And you see all these crazy Hollywood things that they put on TV, and you say, you know, what's up with these people propagating and blah 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 blah. This is all helping Islam. Because when the people are introduced to this falsehood and how weak it is, and then you present to them the truth, it makes the truth so much nicer to hear when falsehood is around in this sense. Tayyib. We will stop here, inshallah. We have made it to verse 57. Alhamdulillah. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. You may have a small break.